Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 today, if you could turn there. Listen, I have had 3 weeks to prepare this message, so we will get out of here about 2:30 today. So, no, I'm kidding. Some of y'all excited. Y'all need help. No, I can't even speak that long. Some of you may not believe that, but I can't. But Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 9, or actually it's verses 18 through 23 is what I'm going to read, but I'm going to split it up a little bit. And I've been praying about this for weeks. I talked to Brother Rodney about it this past week or the week before. I can't even remember when I talked to him about it. It was a long time ago. But I've been praying about what God wanted me to speak to you about this morning. And I'm praying that it is going to land on you. And I hope it lands on you and wiggles in your face and says, "Here I am. Let's do something about it." If you understand me, say, "I do." I know that is the weirdest statement. I have no idea where that came from. But that's where it is. Luke chapter 18. Let's start in verse 18. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question: "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Isn't that exactly what we're all looking for? That's why we're in this room, right? Well, that's why we're here. We're all asking God, "What do I need to do? What about?" But the problem is, in today's culture, we're more about checking off a list. And that's what this guy was doing. He was checking off a list saying, okay, it was like Santa Claus. He's checking that list or checking it twice and all that. He's going through, "What do I need to do? Well, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this." And he's got his resume for his salvation. And the thing is, we don't need to come in with a resume for salvation. We need to come in with an attitude of, "What can I do for you?" Listen, you've already checked every box that needs to be checked on everything that I need to do to be saved. What can I do to help the kingdom? But anyway, let me go ahead and read this. I'm just going to read it off here. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question: "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. Only God is truly good. And I'm going to stop right there. This is a whole diatribe or a whole conversation back and forth that has happened right after a bunch of parables. Jesus has been teaching with stories. I love storytellers. I love good storytellers. I wish I was one of them. But I love storytellers because they can help you relate, and they can help relate things. And Jesus has just gotten done telling all these different stories and relating it to their lives and teaching people what they need to do in order to be saved. And this guy pops up. This version tells us a religious leader. This gospel tells us a religious leader. Other versions, like in Mark and in Matthew, it tells us is a leader or a young rich leader. That's what it really says, is a young rich leader in those versions. And it doesn't say a religious leader, but this guy pops up and he says, "What do I got to do to be saved?" Anybody ever asked that question? I've asked that question plenty of times. There's sometimes I ask that question when I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off. Have y'all noticed I mention that a lot? I've got issues. I promise you, I don't have road rage much. But anyway. But he asks, "What do I need to be saved?" And the thing is, he's not coming to him with a bad attitude. I will say that. He's not coming to a bad attitude, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But in verse 20 it says, "But to answer your question," again, he just said, "Nobody's good but God." Now, he's not denying that he is the Son of God. What he's saying is, "Hey, do you realize what you're saying? Do you realize what you're saying about me?" But he says, "But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. And this man's standing over there with his little papyrus and the little quill, and he's going, check, 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 check. And all of a sudden he looks at him and says, all right, that's awesome, great, yes, Jesus, I'm right there with you. And he says, the man replied in verse 21, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. He's going, check, I'm good. I'm all good, God. I'm all good, Jesus. We're all good. When Jesus heard this answer, he said, there is still one thing you haven't done. I love the way that the King James Version puts it, where it says, there is still one thing you lack. One thing you lack. There's still one thing you haven't done, Jesus said. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you that you have birthed it inside of me and chosen me to deliver it today. I pray that my words would be few, your words would be powerful, and that God, this would grab a hold of our hearts today about the one thing that we lack. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. That's my title today. One thing you lack. Turn somebody next to you and say, something's missing. Something missing. One thing you lack. There is an alternative title. If you don't like that title, I also called it Leaky Faith. And there's a reason to get there. And I know that sounds weird. And turn to the person next to you and say, you're leaking. Some of y'all need to be careful who you talk to. Okay. So you're leaking. But leaky faith. Leaky faith. This is more than just a passage about a rich entrepreneur and a rabbi. That sounds like a joke getting ready to be. A rich entrepreneur, a rabbi, and some disciples were sitting by the road. It sounds like a joke that somebody's getting ready to tell. This is more than just some rich guy and a rabbi talking. This was more than just a chance meeting, but a strategically planned encounter with Jesus. The same way that today is a strategically planned encounter between you and God. That is the same encounter, the same type of encounter. This is not by chance. It's not by happenstance. And I want you to notice how Jesus reacted to this young man who came and asking questions. He came in asking questions, and he said, how am I supposed to get saved? What am I? There's something I didn't even think about this till just now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But you got to think. Y'all remember a guy by the name of Nicodemus in the Bible? If you don't know about the story about Nicodemus, Nicodemus was a religious ruler. He was high up in the religious rulers, and he was very knowledgeable, knew a whole lot about Scripture, knew a whole lot about the ancient writings, and was so smart. And he was one of those that would set the laws and make sure everything was governed correctly. But I want you to notice something. The religious leader who was very aged and smart and on the council and all that kind of stuff, he asked the same question that this young rich ruler asked. Two different kinds of people, two different generations, the same question. How can a man be born again? Can he go into his mother's womb once again and then be birthed? No. He could not wrap his head around it. Both these men were struggling with the same thing. Can I tell you this? That we're going to have some folks that come into this place. We've got a bunch of people in here. You've been around church for a while, right? You've been around church. You've been raised in church. You know church. You know. Listen, you could probably come in here and fall asleep and still raise your hands at the right time and say amen at the right time, all that kind of, because you've been in church for so long. You know what you're supposed to do, right? But we've got some folks that come in here and they know absolutely nothing. And they're asking questions, going, how, why do we raise our hands? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? How do we get saved? But I'm telling you right now, those of us that have been in the church for a long time, I was raised in church. I was one of those bad kids that fell asleep in the pew. and they would drool all over the place. You get up and you got your face like matted with stuff and all that. I brought cars in to play during church and all that kind of stuff. I'd fall asleep, and next thing you know, Sister Papoofnik down there, and I'd, woo! And then I was like, Dad, Mom, I'm scared! And all that kind of stuff. And I was one of those kids. Okay. I'm in ADD mode. I'm sorry. But the thing is, I was one of those kids, but the same questions that our older generation is asking is the same questions that the younger generation is asking. We can't judge them for their questions. Jesus did not scold this man. He didn't look at him and say, well, I just told you all these stories. I just told you all these parables. I just told you everything you needed to know. Why are you asking me this? Why are you asking me these questions? He didn't scold him. He didn't correct him. He did not shame him. God is not a God that shames his people. God is not going to stand you up and go, you are a horrible person, but I love you. No, he's going to pull you aside, put his arm around you, say, hey, I know you got some things wrong, but I still care about you. I know you got questions that you don't understand, but I'm going to give you some answers that you do. That's the way God responds. Jesus recognized the hunger in him. He recognized the hunger because he's looked at him and said, okay, listen, here's what you need to do. Go sell everything, give it away. And then he said, come follow me. He officially invited him to be a disciple of his. Do you realize that that means that he had this young man had the opportunity to become one of the inner circle, one of those that was important, one of those that was going to spend time one-on-one with Jesus at times. He was inviting him into that inner circle. Come and follow me. He's not going to invite somebody into that inner circle who doesn't have that hunger. He realized this young man had a hunger for him. God recognizes, let me say this about everybody in this room, God recognizes your hunger for him and your desire to know him. The simple fact, this right here was more than just a message about possessions and money and charity and wealth. So many pastors take this whole scripture out of context and they preach it in this whole encounter out of context. They make it all about the money and how difficult it is for someone to really rely on God and trust God fully when they're rich and when they have all this kind of stuff. Now, is that a lesson that is involved inside of this scripture? Absolutely, because Jesus right after this says it is so hard for the rich to come into the kingdom of God. So there is a story about that. There is a part of it that is that way. But they make it all about that. But if we make it all about the money and how difficult it is, then we lose the real lesson or one of the real lessons and one of the real meanings behind this in verse 22 where it says, gosh, I lost my place. In verse 22 where it says, there is still one thing you haven't done. One thing you lack. If it was all about money and it was all about the universal teaching about, okay, go out and sell your stuff and give it all away to the poor. If it was just that, then we would be required to do it as well. But it wasn't about that. What it was is that Jesus looked at this young man, and he saw this young man, and he saw that he valued his possessions more than he did the Word of God and his presence in God's presence. He valued him more. When I read this passage, I can't help but visualize a bucket. Everybody say bucket. I can't help but visualize a bucket. This bucket, imagine holding a bucket like this, and there's a continuous stream of water pouring into that bucket. That's what I see when I read this verse because of a teaching that I heard from a guy by the name of Scott Wilson who used to be the pastor at the Oaks School or the Oaks in Red Oak, Texas. And he also used to be the president and founder of Oak School of Ministry. He told this illustration of a bucket and how God is wanting to fill our bucket up. That bucket is our life. God is wanting to fill that bucket up and fill it up and fill it up and fill it up and fill it up to an overflowing. How many of you want God's presence to overflow in your life? Well, I want that too. But I can't help but think about the fact that that bucket is sitting there. I see that water pouring out and pouring out and pouring out into that bucket. It's a powerful visualization of how God is continually pouring His presence and His power and His mercy into our lives. God's desire is to fill us to an overflowing with His presence. Every person in here, I don't care if you are 9 days old or if you are 9,000 years old, okay? God's desire is to make you fill or to fill you completely to an overflowing where you can spill out on other people around you. And that's what happens. Have you ever tried to carry a bucket that was completely full? You end up spilling it on you. You end up spilling it on somebody else. Yeah, I'm talking about filled to the brim. You spill it everywhere. God isn't interested in just sprinkling us with a blessing every now and then. He's not interested in just giving us a little bit of His presence here and there. He's not interested with you just going through life, barely making it, and by the skin of your teeth and by the hair of your chinny chin chin, if you got hairs on there, all that kind of stuff. He's not interested in just getting you there. He wants us covered and saturated to the brim with His Holy Spirit in His presence. That's what God wants for your life, for my life, for my kids' lives, for my wife, for everybody, even Brother Brad. He wants God to fill him to an overflowing. He wants to make you bigger, badder, and better, brother. Come on. We've been talking about that. He wants to fill us all to an overflowing. This is what happens when you have a true encounter with God, is you leave filled to an overflowing. But can I tell you a problem that we have as human beings? We leak. We leak. Again, turn to the person next to you and say, we leak. Choose wisely. We leak. The problem is we leak. We have holes in that bucket of our life. We have holes in that bucket that prevent us from being filled. My desire today is for us to take a deep look within ourselves and at our spiritual buckets and see where we are falling short. I want you to answer the question today, where is the hole in my bucket? Where am I losing His presence? Where is He leaking out? So that I can't overflow. If you're with me, say I am. First thing I want you to notice this man's desire was genuine. He wasn't coming to trap Jesus. He's not coming to trap Jesus with these questions. There are many questions that are nothing but traps for us, right? You ever have somebody come and ask you a question and you just felt like they were trying to trap you? You're like, they come up to you and say, hey, what do you think about this? And I had a lady do that to me one time. She said, what do you think about this right here? And I said, oh, gosh, this just feels weird. And I said my answer. Next thing you know, boom, she started just spouting off all kinds of stuff and just trying to tear me to pieces. And I'm like, yep, she trapped me. Listen, I can only speak as a man, so I can tell you, men, there are questions that our wives ask us that are traps. Come on. You better watch saying amen right now. but there are questions that, listen, guys, if they ever, I think I've said this before, if they ever ask you the question, does this make me look fat? That's a trap. I want to yell like the guy from, like the little fish head guy from Star Wars, Admiral Ackbar. I'm going to, it's a trap. Don't answer. You just look at her and say, you look beautiful, baby. But you didn't answer. But you look beautiful. It's a trap. If they ever ask you that question, don't answer it. It's a trap. They ever ask the question, where do you want to eat? Everything you say is going to be wrong. Says the single man in the back of the room. but I'm with you. But there's also another question. Listen, I learned this one real quick. If she ever asks you the question, do you think she's pretty? No, sir. You don't answer that question. Young people, guys, do not answer that question when they ask you, do you think she looks pretty? Because you're not going to do anything but lose. Come on. All the husbands in the house say amen. Amen. Come on. Listen, there's a trap. with those questions. These guys, this man was not trying to trap him, but people had tried to trap Jesus before. They would ask him questions. Do you think we should pay taxes to Caesar? And they tried to trap him. They would ask him, they brought the woman caught in adultery and drug her and threw her in front of him and said, the law says that we should stone her to death. What do you say, teacher? And they tried to trap him. And they tried to catch him in something. But my question is, where was the man? Because the Bible actually, I mean, the scripture actually said that they were supposed to stone them both, right? Chances are is that one of those men that drug her in front of him is the one that caused her to be caught. Are you with me? But they tried to trap him before, but this man's thirst, this man's genuine thirst for knowledge and righteousness came through the way that he addressed Jesus, because he called him good teacher. Good teacher. And it wasn't just a normal word. I know I'm taking a little time this morning to lay this all out, but I want you to understand this. It's an unusual title for them to call a rabbi a good teacher, because that word good actually meant blameless and sinless. That's why Jesus looked at him and said, why do you call me good? Do you realize what you are declaring by saying that? It implied one without sin. And all of the Talmud, which is the Talmud is the record of the rabbinic, I can't say the word, rabbinical, there you go. The rabbinical debates in the 2nd to 5th century. No rabbi was ever called good teacher in any of those writings. This is the only time. He recognized Jesus for who he was, and he knew he had the answers he was seeking. So he asked him the question, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Inside this room, I believe that we have people with genuine hearts that are asking God, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to be good? What do I need to do to be saved? I believe that we desire to experience God in the fullness of His glory. We aren't just going through the motions and checking off our list. In today's culture, if you're showing up at church, you want something from Him. You want His presence. You are desiring something from Him. Even today, in weather like this, if you showed up in this house, that means you're hungry for the presence of God and that you want God to do something in your life. That shows me that there is something alive inside of you that God is stoking the flame saying, hey, we got to go to church. We got to go to church. I hope y'all don't mind me sharing this, but Miss Sylvia told me a story a few minutes ago. She said that Marcia looked at her last night. Listen, Mama, tomorrow morning, I don't care if it is raining or not, we going to church because my week is better when I go. Listen, that is a hunger for God. And I want to say thank you for that. That made my day. There is a hunger inside of this room. And God recognizes your hunger. And when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Come on, somebody. Are you with me this morning? Turn to somebody and say, get up. So, turn to somebody and say, wake up. Let me say that. Say, wake up. Can we get lazy and tired from our effort and our effort wane at times? Yes. But for the most part, if you are taking the time and the effort to be in the building or be online, then you desire your bucket to be filled up. Somebody say, fill my bucket. So we notice that his hunger is genuine, but I also want you to notice that this young man was knowledgeable and understood the scriptures. He knew what was going on. Jesus recognized that he was an educated man in the law. He was smart. He knew what was going on. He knew what the law was. He called him out and told him what to do. Jesus recognized and he called him and told him what to do. Luke 18:20. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. He looked at this young man and said, you've already studied all of this. You know how to have eternal life. You know what's going on. You know how to handle it. So he said, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. This man, like all this rich young ruler, like all other men in the Jewish culture at the time, by the time he was 10 years old, he was required to have memorized the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible. Anybody in here memorized the first five books of the Bible? Not me. This guy had done it. He knew the law. He knew the situation. He knew what was going on. He had already studied and memorized the scriptures from his youth. There is no shortage of knowledge in this room, though. I know you may not have the first five books memorized, but I can look around this room and I see pillars in the community. I see pillars in this church. I see people that have been raised in church, and you can quote scripture with the best of them. You know what the scripture says. You know what the scripture says to do, and you've got it up here, and you've even got it in here, and you know what's going on. You are educated in the ways of God. You've lived by that verse that says, "Show me your ways so that I may walk in your truth. So that I might walk with you." You've memorized all of those. You know what's going on. There is no shortage of knowledge in this room today. The wisdom and the faithfulness of the pillars of this church astound and amaze me. That's the reason why I get so nervous when I get up here and I get ready to preach. Because you know what? Some of you guys have been saved longer than I've been alive. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what can I teach these guys? I don't know as much as they do. I don't have as much. Listen, there's so many. I look at myself and I go, these guys are so much smarter than I am, God. If I stutter and I don't know what to say sometimes. I feel like Moses, trying to give an excuse for what I can do and what I can't do. But God looks at me and says, they have the knowledge. They know what's going on, but they need the word in a different way. They need it in a different form. But you've got so much knowledge in this room. There are some of you guys that I've been saved longer than you've been alive. Others, you've got such a thirst for God. I love Brother Rodney. We talk all the time, and I'll just look at him sometimes. I say, what are you studying? Because that man studies like 24/7. I don't even think he sleeps at night. I think he takes the Bible, lays it over his forehead, and says, God, teach me something, and then goes to sleep. I think that's what he does. But he's got such a thirst, and he seeks God's face diligently. There's other people in this room that do that. You don't need me to recount the do's and don'ts of the Bible. You can quote them to me. There's a good foundation here at Calvary Temple, and there's strong biblical knowledge. We come in with our spiritual buckets, seeking God to fill us to an overflowing. Every single time we walk through these doors, you guys are faithful to worship. You're faithful to listen to me get up here and rant and rave and preach and scream and spit and holler and all that kind of stuff. And you take whatever God gives you, and then you walk out and you try to apply it. But we cry out and we remind God that all of his promises are yes and amen. We want to be overcomers. Amen? We want to be more than conquerors. God is faithful to meet us in our moment. Matthew 5 tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jeremiah 29 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And again, I think we're here for that reason. But we have to realize we leak. God is faithful to fill us with his knowledge. God is faithful to fill us with his presence. God is faithful to fill us with his mercy and his grace. But we leak. This young man looked like he had it all together. He had everything right, but there was a problem with his bucket. He's standing there holding his bucket. God, I've done this. I've done this. Jesus, I did all that. I didn't kill nobody. I wanted to kill my brother because he got into my drawers, but I didn't. I haven't killed nobody. I haven't lied on nobody. I haven't bared false witness. I haven't done any of those things. And he's holding that bucket, and God is pouring that knowledge and pouring that wisdom into him, but he doesn't realize there's still something lacking in that bucket. There's a hole in his bucket that has been drilled in the side, and things are leaking out so that he never fills completely up. That's why he's still hungry, going, how can I become saved? How can I live an eternal life? How can I have that in my life? When we heard Jesus' response about what he had to do at first, he was excited. In Luke 18, 21, he said, the man replied, I've done all these things since I was young. And to the naked eye, he had everything to fulfill his own question. Yet Christ didn't stop with the surface level inspection of his actions. See, I think that's where we as a church and we as a people sometimes mess up. We take the surface level of our actions and we forget to look deep into our heart at our motives and at what's deep inside of us. We think as long as I go to church, as long as I say the right prayers and I do the right things and I hang around the right people, everything's going to be fine. But there needs to be a hunger. If you understand me, say I do. There needs to be a hunger. This man was blind to the hole in his life, in his bucket. When Jesus looked at him, he saw that he valued his riches more than he did his presence with God and his relationship with God. Because he may have all those other things. He may have done all those other things. He may have handled things. This thing keeps falling down. He may have handled all these other things correctly. But Jesus looked at him and said, but one thing you still lack. Luke 18, 22. He said, when Jesus heard his answer, he said, there is still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. It wasn't the fact that he was rich that bothered Jesus. God is not against money. Let me just say that. God is not against money. What he's against is relying more on your money than you do him. This man's riches had become his idol. It was his chink in his spiritual armor, the weak spot in his wall, and the hole in his bucket through which God's presence was escaping so that he would never be filled completely. He had knowledge of the scriptures. He had the actions of a righteous man. But he was still hungry because he said, what must I do to gain eternal life? There are blessings and there is a power that God is desiring to pour into us. He wants to pour it into us, but it's spilling out of our spiritual buckets because we don't realize there's a hole in our bucket. We don't realize there's an area of our life that is not plugged up so that God can fill us to an overflowing. My question is this, where in your life is the hole that needs to be repaired? Where is your faith leaking? It doesn't necessarily have to be money. It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be finances. It could be pride. Maybe there's pride in your life that is drilling a hole in the side of your bucket. And the thing is, you love God. You've got the knowledge of God, and God is filling you, and he is blessing you, but there's a part of your life that isn't complete, so part of his presence is spilling out, and it's not really filling you to an overflowing, because you're not supposed to bless people from your spilling of the side. You're supposed to bless them through the overflow of the presence of God that is in your life. You wonder why you come to church on Sunday morning, and you God fills you up, and you feel, oh, God, this is wonderful. This is great. I love your presence. I love your anointing. I love your power. I love the fact that you are touching my life. Lord, let me take it with me. But we walk out of here not realizing that our pride has got a hole in the side of our bucket and we are leaking out. And we wonder why we're dragging by the end of the week, wondering, God, why can't I make it to the end of the week? Or maybe it's not your pride. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's just the fact that you let something into your life that shouldn't be there. Maybe it's a habit that you've got in your own personal walk that is drilling a hole in the side of your bucket. God, I want you to move through my life. And God's pouring as much as he can into you, but it keeps leaking out. It may be pride. It may be jealousy. You look at somebody and say, I wish I had their family. Or I wish I had everything they had. I wish I had their talent. I wish I had their, and maybe laziness. The fact that you can't get up and do your own devotions and you wait for some preacher on TV to preach to you. Oh, come on now. I'm starting to meddle a little bit. Y'all still love me? Okay. Maybe it's laziness in the fact that you, I don't have time to spend that much time in prayer. God understands my schedule. You ain't got a problem sitting there watching a 3.5 hour long football game. Jesus Juke. It may be laziness. Lack of sacrifice. It may be the fact that you're just satisfied with a mediocre relationship. Can I tell you this? If my wife and I were satisfied with a mediocre relationship between us, eventually that relationship would dissolve because we have to do maintenance on it. If you're with me, say I am. We've got to do the same thing with God. We as a church, what area of your life do you need some repairs on? We as a church, we've got holes in our bucket. We, as a church, as Calvary Temple, we've got holes in our bucket that we've been trying to fill. And we want God's presence to flow. And we want this place to be filled with people. And we wonder, how can we fill those areas? Where are the main areas that we need to look at? What's the lowest point in the bucket that we need to fill so that it'll stop leaking out? One of those main holes was the fact that we needed a children's minister to be able to minister directly to our kids. And we have done that. We have filled that hole. There's other things that we're praying about right now. I'm going to tell you right now, two of them that are on my mind and on my list. One of them is I'm praying for a youth leader that will step up and that will be able to spend more time with these teenagers. I love teenagers. I want to spend as much time with them as I can. But the problem is if I try to spend all my time with those teenagers, I'm not going to be able to reach the people that I need to reach. It's not that I don't love them, because I love them more than anything in the world. I love that I was in youth ministry for over 20 years, and I absolutely love them. They kept me young. Now they're making me old. But I've been praying for a youth leader that would be able to step up and take the reins and spend time with them and teach them the Word of God and have fun with them. Somebody that's crazy enough to go play paintball with them. Somebody that's crazy enough to go and do the insane things that teenagers do nowadays. I love playing paintball, but I can't run like that no more. I'm not going to do it. Somebody that can do a lock-in. Lord Jesus, whole. Thank you, Lord. I'd love to have somebody step up and do that. That's one of the areas. That's a hole in our bucket as a church. There's another hole in our bucket, and you see it every single Sunday morning. We've got instruments that need to be played up here. We've got people that, we've got holes of ministry that need to be filled. And I believe God is bringing those. I believe God is going to fill those holes, but we're praying for the right people at the right time to be on this stage, because we're going to make sure that God has brought them to this place. It may be a secret sin that nobody knows about that's your hole. We as a people deal with holes that prevent us from being filled with God's power and presence and purpose. When filling a bucket, the water is never going to be sustained above the lowest hole. So where's your lowest hole today? Where am I falling short in my walk with God? Some of us, that hole is a relationship that is damaging our bucket. Oh, come on now. It's a relationship that somebody is drilling a hole in the side of our bucket that we need to cut off because they're not doing anything but hurting us. Quick story, and then I'm going to close. I'm not even going to go over the rest of this. I'm going to try to get through this here today. Quick story. My daughter now is 22 years old, getting married in March. Lord, help me. Don't ask me anything else about the wedding because I have no idea. My job is to write checks and say yes. Say her mother and I. That's it. But my daughter, we were at a church function when she was about 5 or 6 years old. And we were having a blast. It was an Easter egg hunt. Y'all know the Easter egg hunts in churches. So much fun. And she was running around and she was trying to get all these eggs and trying to put them in her basket. But the problem was, Shelby was also very much like her father in two ways. Number one, she was not the fastest person. So she would try to run to something and somebody would run and get it. But she was also very ADD. Yeah, hey, something shiny. That kind of thing. So she would get distracted. And as we're running around and she's trying to get eggs and all that, she ended up with like three eggs. And she's carrying that basket behind her and everything. So you know what I was doing? What I did was I walked behind her, and every now and then I'd reach down and I'd pick up one of her little plastic eggs and I'd throw it on the ground next to her. Shelby, there's one. And she'd run over and grab it, put it in her basket. And I'd grab it again. There's another one. Go get it. And she thought she had like 50 eggs. And then she looked in her basket when it came time because they were all gone. I mean, she ended up getting candy. Don't worry about it. We didn't scar the child for life. But she looked in her basket. She said, Dad, where are my eggs? Where are my eggs at? She didn't realize I had been taking her eggs and putting them on the ground. And she didn't realize that her bucket was not getting filled, even though she kept trying to pour as much of it in there as possible, because someone was emptying her bucket for her. Some of you have somebody emptying your spiritual bucket on a regular... Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody is emptying your bucket by the speech that they put into your life and by what they speak over your heart and by what they speak into your family and what they speak into your generation. And you need to repair the hole by getting rid of that relationship. Are you with me? Repair the holes, church. The saddest part, I'm going to try to go through this quick. The saddest part of this story is that the man left still lacking. Jesus looked at him and said, just give it all away. Get rid of it. And then come follow me. He gave him the same speech he did his other disciples. Come and follow me. He pointed out the hole in his theology and in his life, the hole in his bucket, the area he was falling short. And once it was exposed, this man had to make a choice. Do I fix it or do I manage it? Some of us, we're trying to manage our holes rather than fix them. Come on. Scripture tells us the man did not make a change, because in Luke 18, 23, it says, but when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. Matthew 19:22 is the same story. It says it a little more definitively. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. I'm just putting this away, I promise you. He went away sad. This man had an opportunity to spend time with the Son of God. He had the opportunity to become that 13th disciple. He had the opportunity to be used mightily by God. But that day he made a choice, but it's because it says he went away sad. And we never hear about that man again. We never hear his name. We never hear that he gave up his possessions. We never hear what happened to him. Church, can I ask you something as you stand today? Some of you, God has pointed out the holes in your theology. Some of you, God has pointed out the holes in your spiritual life. And now he's asking you, what are you going to do? Are you going to fix it or are you going to manage it? Are you going to completely fill in that hole so that I can fill you up a little bit more than I used to fill you up? Or are you just going to let it continue to leak out and just sort of manage it by putting a Band-Aid on it every now and then, and maybe I'll fill you up a little bit extra at times, but then eventually it'll fall right back down? Don't manage your holes. Let's fix them today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, right now, I pray that you would walk through this room and that you would touch hearts, that you would physically, Lord, start to work on them about filling their holes. That, Lord, spiritually, you would speak into their ears and into their minds right now about the areas of their lives, of the lives of the people in this room, that need to be changed and need to be broken, the areas that need to be filled in with something to fill in that hole. God, in the name of Jesus, we ask for our buckets to be filled today. We don't want to just check off a list. But Lord, let us be filled to an overflowing. Fill our holes today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God is speaking to you about a hole or an area of your life where His presence is leaking out, there's an area in your heart that God is saying, hey, let's fix this. Let's not manage it. Let's fix it today. It may be the fact that you just need to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you're in here, that's the first thing I'm going to ask right now. If there is somebody in this room that right now you're saying, you know what? I need to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I need to be changed. The first hole in my bucket is the fact that I don't have a relationship, an active, ongoing, fulfilling relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you today and you want to gain that relationship today, if you want to start your relationship once again with Jesus Christ, if that's you and you want to give your life to Christ today, all you have to do is real quickly raise your hand right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to speak to the second group. Maybe you're in this place today and you've got the knowledge of Christ. You've got the relationship with Christ. You know what's going on. You can quote Scripture better just like everybody else. But there's an area of your life that God is speaking to you about. There's a hole that needs to be changed and something that needs to be filled in. If there is an area in your life that you said, God, that right now God is looking at you saying, let's fix it, and you want to fix that area of your life today, I'll ask you to raise your hand real quickly right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody to look at me for just a moment. We had hands go up all over this room, and I'm going to ask you to do something. Those of you that raised your hands, and even those of you that didn't raise your hand and you just want more of God and you want Him to fill you to an overflowing today, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar for just a few minutes and we're going to pray together. Come on, don't wait on me. You ain't got to wait. I don't care if you raise your hand for salvation. I don't care if you raise your hand for an area of your life that needs to be fixed. I don't care if you just want an overflowing of His presence and of His grace and His mercy in your life again. Come on down right now. Those areas, any of those. Hallelujah, Jesus. And let's seek God together today. Come on, don't wait on me to come lay hands on you. Don't wait on me to do anything with you. Let God speak to you right now. Let God start to work on your life. Let God start to work on your heart. Amy, I want you to go around and start praying for the ladies. And I'm going to lay hands on the men as we go through. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that in the name of Jesus, you would fill to an overflowing. That God, if there's areas and holes in our lives that need to be filled in, that Father God, in the name of Jesus, you would let the Spirit of God move and break us, God. Show us those areas that need to be filled in. Show us those areas, Lord, that need to be broken in our own lives. Show us the areas where we're relying on ourselves and on our own hearts and our own lives. In Jesus' name, God, Fill us to an overflowing again. Fill us with purpose again. Fill us with power again and your presence again. God, in the name of Jesus, let your spirit move on us, God. Fix the holes in our lives, the areas where your presence is escaping, the areas, Lord, where we feel inadequate, the areas where we have managed them in the past. God, in the name of Jesus, give us a hunger for you again. Give us a hunger for you again. In the name of Jesus, God, remind us that your love is unconditional and that you have loved us from the very beginning, from the very first breath. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you have given us purpose and power, and you have called us with your hand and your heart. And that today, Lord, you are going to fix the holes in our lives, the areas that seem empty and broken that we felt like they would never be filled. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. God is doing something. God is doing something. Saints, you need to be praying right now because there's something going on. There's something going on. There's something going on. God, in the name of Jesus, move in this place. Move in this place. God, those that feel like they have walked away from your presence, those that feel like they need to start a new relationship with you, in the name of Jesus, pour your love on them new and afresh again. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, come on, saints, be praying. There are battles being won right now. There are battles being won right now. There are lives being changed. There is holes being fixed and holes being filled. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for those that are dealing with relationships that are pulling them down. Those that are dealing with situations where people are emptying their bucket. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would help them to understand that they need to fix those areas and they may need to cut off those relationships in the name of Jesus. Father God, those that are dealing with personal sin or personal issues that they are struggling with, Father God, help them to let go today of the past. Help them to let go of the bitterness behind them. Let them let go of the situation from the past, God, and move forward, because that past is not doing anything but taking a drill and drilling a hole in the side, trying to tell them they're not worthy, trying to tell them they're not worth it, trying to tell them that they're never going to be filled to an overflowing. God, in the name of Jesus, let them walk away from the past. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to ask everyone in the room to say this prayer after me, because we did have those that said, I want to start a relationship with God today. I want every one of you in the room that would to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I want my bucket to be filled. Fix my holes. Fix my life. I give you my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for your blood that has changed my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we give God praise?
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.